Thank you, Hannah. It's time for us to finish our series tonight on the good life. We've had 3 weeks looking at that idea, looking at wealth in the first week and relationships. And tonight we're going to look at the topic of purpose. And so I hope it's been encouraging for you. I do hope that the message here tonight will be a challenge and an encouragement to us as we think about what it is that God has called us to do and what he has done for us to make that possible, for us to have a life of purpose. I can't stand on things that move. Skateboards, surfboards, anything that moves. I can hit a ball like you wouldn't know, but I cannot stand on anything that moves, and that's my Achilles heel. But if you saw me in the mid-90s, you'd never know it. Surf t-shirts, surf pencil cases, surf brand hats. I was a regular surfer dude. I think I even grew my hair for a while, but it never really got there. But I was a real surfer dude at one stage. And one brand that we used to wear was Rip Curl. You know Rip Curl? And Rip Curl, if you want to see on the screen here behind me, Rip Curl had many logos, but the words "the search" were a big part of the marketing strategy for Rip Curl. All of us surfer kids, real and pretend, knew about the search. And what was the search? Well, the search was the search for the perfect wave. The founder of Rip Curl said the search was the essence of Rip Curl. We needed to get that into a campaign. We had always been on the search, we just didn't know what to call it until then. And so was born an effective marketing strategy. Why was it so effective? Well, it was effective because every surfer was a part of the search for the perfect wave. Every surfer was searching for the same thing. Now, you might be the furthest thing, like I am, from the furthest thing from a surfer, but I want to suggest that each one of us is also part of the search. We're all searching for something far more profound than the perfect wave. And what is it that we're searching for? Well, it's purpose. We're all searching for purpose. Every human being knows this, that we exist for a reason, that we have a purpose. And life is a quest to find that true purpose. We're on the search. So this evening, as we begin the last of our talks, we're going to think about this idea of being on the search for the purpose. This is all part of searching for the good life. We've seen so far that wealth cannot give us the good life. Instead, we find the good life when we embrace the riches of salvation offered to us in Christ. Then last week, we saw that no human relationship can give us the good life, that lasting satisfaction and significance can only come through a relationship with God, through Jesus. And tonight, this idea of purpose is our topic. Our culture tells us that we can get the good life if we discover our true purpose. And so off we go in search of it. What we're going to do tonight is this. First, we're going to think about why we're searching, kind of what it is that we're searching for, and kind of what this it means for us to have a life of purpose. Then we'll think about why that search is so frustrating. And then we'll think about what the gospel has to say about our search for purpose and how having a gospel-shaped view of our purpose will completely change our lives now. First, a life of purpose. What does it mean to have a life of purpose? I'm sure you could list off all kinds of things, but these are the things that I came up with this week. Three things that we would love to say. And if we could say these three phrases, I reckon we would say we have a life of purpose. First of all, I know where I am going. Most of the time, unless you're just trying to relax or something, going for a drive without a destination makes no sense, does it? Having a destination gives purpose to our driving. It's good to know where we're going. And in the same way, knowing where we're going in life gives us a sense of purpose. If you're an athlete, you train and you eat and you sleep and you drink in a certain way so that you can get to the next competition. That's where you're going. If you want to become a doctor, you study in a particular way and you put in the hard hours, all the reading that goes with it, all the practical stuff, all the shift work. All that kind of stuff, it all is driven because you have a destination in mind. Knowing where we're going will shape the way we live, the goals that we set for ourselves, our priorities. And so those people who can say, I know where I'm going in life, well, they must have found their purpose. The second thing we want to say is, I feel so alive. This is the kind of person, like the happy dwarf, who just bounds out of bed each day with a smile. They're kind of almost so happy with everything, it's kind of sickly. They're loving life. Their job is fulfilling. They get to do the things they're passionate about. They're getting so much out of life. There's just so much fulfillment and happiness in their life. I feel so alive. People who can say that, well, they must have found their true purpose. And then thirdly, we want to be able to say, I'm making a real difference. A life of purpose is about making a difference, making a meaningful difference. We want to leave our mark in this world. We want our life to count for something. And so those people who can say, you know, I really am making a difference in this world, well, they must have found their purpose. I think at least those three phrases, they kind of summarize what it is that we mean when we say we want to have a life of purpose. To know where we're going, to be doing what we love and what makes us happy and fulfilled, and to be making a difference in this world, that's the life of purpose. It's easy, right? Or is it? You see, when we think carefully, we realize that in each of these areas, we have problems. The truth is that true purpose is much harder to find than we thought. And so we think about the elusiveness of purpose. If you imagine, you know, especially as winter comes around now, there'll be some mist, some fog in the morning. And we wake up in the morning and look out and see a fog. And we imagine to ourselves walking up to it and being able to touch it and grab it, because it's there, we can see it. But as soon as the wind comes up, it's gone. And if we were to keep walking towards it, we'd never actually be able to grab it. It would keep on just disappearing before us. True purpose is a bit like that. It's elusive. It's really hard to find. And when we do think we've found it, it's impossible, it would seem, to grab onto it. And I think there's at least five reasons we come up kind of empty in our search for purpose. The first thing is we're overwhelmed with options. As I said, I can't stand up on things that move, but I can catch a tennis ball or a cricket ball. And so, you know, used to be a slips fielder in cricket, could catch a ball just fine. But when someone throws 100 balls to you at once, things kind of change, don't they? With one ball, it's easy. But when there's 100 things flying at you at once, we get so overwhelmed, often that we'll fail to catch any. We're kind of like, we're looking at all of them at once, and then all of a sudden, they've all hit the ground. Many, many options coming at us at once, and it's the same with life. And what happens is we end up with this kind of purpose paralysis. Well, what should I study? You know, if you're finishing school or heading to uni, what should my career be? What should my job be? Who should I marry? When should I marry? How many kids should I have? Should I have kids? Options, options, options. What if I choose wrong? What if I don't discover my passion? And all the options that are kind of thrown at us, they end up paralyzing us. We get this kind of purpose paralysis. So we get overwhelmed. That's one reason why it's kind of hard for us to find our purpose. Secondly, we're held hostage by the future. Even if we really know for sure, I want to be a doctor, I want to do something with my life. Even if we know whatever it is that we want to do, the truth is we can't control the future, can we? It's uncertain. What happens if we have a job that we love and that circumstances happen that we cannot control and we get made redundant? What happens if the athlete who has just got such a promising career ahead of them does a horrendous injury and it kind of ends their career? What if we want a family and then we discover we can't have children? You see, the future has us kind of hostage. We can't control the future. And so, in this sense, purpose is really hard to find, because even if we think we know we've got it, the future has all kinds of things in store that may take it away from us. Thirdly, it's hard to find our true purpose because we get stuck on a merry-go-round. If you've been to on a merry-go-round, I have been on them many times recently, you know, you find that you're moving around in a circle, but you're not actually going anywhere. It's a bit like that in life. One of the writers on this kind of topic says, our existence when we were teenagers and students felt like a straight line. Life was broken up into manageable year-by-year chunks, all purposefully working towards the time when we'd be out there in the big, wide world. Then we get out there and it all turns a bit circular. Can you see what she's saying? She's writing that, explaining that we finish year 11, we finish year 12, we do first year uni or whatever it is. We kind of knock off all the milestones. We get our little hat and our degree and all that kind of stuff. And then we go and get into the workforce and things just start becoming circular. Life becomes a daily grind. This sense of purpose that we had as it was, we were moving forward with purpose, suddenly we're in this cycle of eat, sleep, work, repeat. Like a merry-go-round, we're moving, we're still doing stuff, but we're no longer feeling like we're going anywhere. The direction has kind of got lost. Fourthly, we leave temporary footprints. If you ever go walking on the beach and when you go on holidays, you might go for a nice long beach walk for some exercise. If you walk up the beach and back, often what you'll find is that as you leave the footprints, on the way back, the waves have come up and they've already washed those footprints away. It's a bit like that in life. We want to leave our mark on the world, but so much of what we do makes a difference only for a short time. It's there and makes a difference for a moment, but then it's gone. We wish we could make a more lasting difference, have a more lasting effect on the world, leave our mark, but our footprints are temporary. And so for at least these four reasons, even though we might search for our purpose, we often find ourselves kind of grasping at the vapor. We're overwhelmed with options. We're held hostage by the future. We're kind of stuck in that daily grind. We're left wishing that we could make more of a difference than we do. But there's a fifth reason that we find purpose so hard to find, and it's the most important, and it's this. It's that we're looking for purpose in the wrong places. Very often you'll find me going through our little two-drawer filing cabinet, kind of muttering, where is it? You know, that kind of panicked thing, like passports or anything, to be honest. Where is it? Because it just gets put in there in an undefined space. Where is it? Where is it? And if you ask me as I was doing that, what are you looking for? I'd tell you about some important document, maybe a receipt or a marriage certificate, which is definitely lost. That kind of stuff. You know, I'm looking for this document. I'm in the filing cabinet. Of course, that's what I'm looking for. But if you asked me when I was doing that, what are you looking for? And I said, a t-shirt. Well, you'd probably look at me funny. I'm either weird, or you might say to me, have you actually tried your clothes drawer? It'd be obvious that I'm looking for a t-shirt in the wrong place. It's the same when it comes to our search for purpose. We're looking for purpose in places where it cannot be found. As I said, knowing where we're going, doing what we love and makes us feel happy and fulfilled, making a difference, there's nothing wrong with any of that. These are good things. But if we think that those things are going to give our life purpose, we're mistaken. See, the truth is our true purpose can only be found in one place, and that is in a relationship with God. And so let's have a look now at what the Bible says about our true purpose and how we can find it. First thing, in terms of finding our true purpose, is to recognize that we were created for a purpose. And for this, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. First page of your Bibles, Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. A little bit later on in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says this, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Here's the question. Why did God create us? Why did God create us? This is the first thing we hear about God's intentions, God's plan for the world. Why did God create us? And the short answer is to serve God by taking care of the world in which he placed us. The longer answer is this. God created us in his image, which means that we have the opportunity and the responsibility of being his representatives in the world. And when he created us, he entrusted to us, to human beings, This is a uniquely human privilege, the privilege of being gardeners, being those who are to care for the world he has made. And part of the instruction he gives there in Genesis 1 is that we would be fruitful and multiply. What he's commanding us to do there is to have children. Children who would work alongside us in taking care of the flourishing, good world that he created. He wants more and more gardeners who are on the same page. This is purpose. We're created to joyfully serve God and represent him in the world so that he gets the glory. We're there to serve him. And so the first thing to note is that we're created for a purpose. But the second thing to note is that we went looking for purpose elsewhere. In Genesis 3, we read the story of the fall. Let's read the first seven verses of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. We're very familiar with this story, right? We understand this is all about sin coming into the world. But this is the lie that Satan tells. What he's saying, at least part of what he's saying, is this: you can find purpose apart from God. You can find meaning apart from God. Satan plants the idea in their minds that God is withholding something from them, that there was something better on offer than simply living out the purpose for which they were created. And that seed that he plants in their minds, well, they listen to him. And they go looking for something else, looking for the good life, looking for purpose apart from God. And so they were created for a purpose, but they go looking elsewhere for purpose. And this leads us to the outcome, which is that sin leads to our purpose being lost. The rest of Genesis 3 tells us the story of what happened to Adam and Eve. And the last verses of chapter 3 tell us the tragic outcome of their decision to listen to the serpent. Verse 23. "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." Here we have Adam and Eve, created to be God's representatives in the world, to serve God in the garden, and now they're banished from the garden. And so they cannot live out their purpose any longer. They're meant to be serving in the garden, but they're now outside of the garden, kept out of there by these flaming swords. Sin, the great purpose thief, has made sure of that. Sin has robbed Adam and Eve of their true purpose. It's disconnected them from the only one who can give them true purpose. And it does the same to us. We're created to serve God by taking care of the world that he has placed us in. But we cannot fulfill that responsibility and that purpose perfectly, because like Adam and Eve, we have been stained by sin. Sin actually separates us from the God who gives us true purpose. Sin is a purpose thief. And this is our problem. Our true purpose can only be found in one place. It can only be found in relationship with God. We know that. And yet sin has wrecked our relationship with him. And so if we can only find true purpose in our relationship with God, but sin has wrecked our relationship with him, then if we want to find true purpose, what we need first is for someone to fix our relationship with God. And of course, that's the good news of what Jesus has come to do. And so we think about Jesus who comes to restore our true purpose. You see, the gospel is good news. It is the good news. that because of Jesus, we can come back to God and once again live out the purpose for which God created us. Adam and Eve were kept away from God and prevented from living out their true purpose by these two flaming swords. And all ever since then, there has been this separation between God and human beings because of sin. As we said, I think last week, the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem, it was a reminder that there was a separation between God and human beings. And yet when Jesus died, as we saw last week, that temple curtain was torn in two, and a way back to God was opened for us. Sin, the great purpose thief, was destroyed. Sin had lost its power. There was a way for us to live out once more our true purpose in this world. Hannah read for us Ephesians 2:1-10, and those verses tell us all of this story in a really kind of summary form. In the first few verses that we read there, verses 1 to 3, we see that we were dead in our sins. Dead in our sins. That we had followed after the ways of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We'd been disobedient. We'd followed our own desires. We'd looked elsewhere, like Adam and Eve. Dead in our sins, apart from God, without true purpose. And there's an incredible word there in verse 4, but, because this is good news, but because of his great love for us, God intervened. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, even though we were dead, he has made us alive. God sent Jesus into the world to suffer and die for our sins so that we might be forgiven and have life forever with God. And then verses 8 and 9 tell us that this is not something that we did. This is not something that we arranged for ourselves. It is completely a gift from God, something that only God could do. And in his great love for us, he has done this. The question is, what's the result? What's the end of all of this? And verse 10 tells us, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." One question is, what we have been what? He says, created. We've been created in Christ. For what purpose? Well, to do good works. And for whom? Well, for God, because it is God who prepares these works in advance for us to do. Created to do good works for God. That sounds a lot like Genesis 1, doesn't it? That's what we were created for in the first place. But now in Christ we have been created afresh. We are a new creation, the scriptures tell us. You see, friends, the gospel offers us life instead of death. It offers us forgiveness instead of condemnation. But the gospel also offers us true and lasting purpose rather than a life of constant frustration, which is ours if we keep on seeking purpose apart from relationship with God. In sending Jesus, God was calling out to us, come back, and grab a hold of your true purpose. Come back and become again a people who serve God as his representatives in this world. This is why Matthew 28 happens. I'm not sure if I mentioned this a few weeks ago when we spoke on Matthew 28 here at Easter. But in Genesis 1, God's mandate for humanity is to be fruitful and multiply. Make more and more people who will worship and serve and honor God to his glory in this world. Genesis 3 happens and something new has to happen then. Matthew 28 is a second mandate, a second commission for humanity. Go and now and make spiritual children. Not physical children, because physical children are born in sin. Now something else has to happen. There has to be a spiritual rebirth, a new creation, so that there can be more and more worshippers of God, more and more people to serve him to his glory. Matthew 28 is Genesis 1 restated, so that we might have more and more people coming to serve God as his representatives in this world. God is calling each one of us back to our true purpose. Friends, are you sick of searching for purpose in your life? Rip Curl, the brand, well, in their literature around this whole search thing. There's stuff you can read about how it all came about. They talk about the idea of the search being that that the search actually never ends. That was actually part of the philosophy of the company. It became and still is a phrase that they use: the search never ends. One of the founders of the company said this: that idea of adventure, looking for and surfing good waves, having a few beers and a good time at night, and then getting up the next day and doing it all again, that's how we lived our lives. The search never ends. Now, the search for the perfect wave may never end, but the good news is that the search for purpose in life can. I want to really encourage you tonight by saying that we can find our true purpose. We can actually grab a hold of and embrace our true purpose when we humbly recognize that God created us for a purpose, that sin has robbed us of that purpose because it has separated us from God, but that Jesus came and died so that our sin might be done away with and our relationship with God restored. And when we admit that, when we come to trust Jesus as the one who died for our sin to make us right with God, then and only then can we discover and grab a hold of our true purpose. But that is what Jesus offers. This is what he's offering to us. Are you sick of searching for purpose in life? Friends, come to Jesus, confess your sin, and discover what it means to live with true purpose. To live with true purpose. That's what I want to think about last. What does it mean for us to live with purpose as a people of true purpose? What difference does it make to our lives? If we think back to what I said at the start, I said that there's, at least in my mind, three things that we would love to say. If we could say these things, we would say we're living a life of purpose. I know where I'm going. I feel so alive. I'm making a real difference. We all want to be able to say these things, but we can't because true purpose is elusive. We search and we find ourselves grasping at the air. For a whole bunch of reasons, but ultimately because we're looking in the wrong place. But, as we've seen, Jesus has made it possible for us to live a life of true and lasting purpose, and it's because of him that we can say these things. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going, because we do, don't we? The Christian knows where they are going. We have a real certainty about where we're headed. What this means is that even though you are overwhelmed by the options, because life still throws all those balls at once, right? Even when we feel overwhelmed by the options, even when we have no idea, we're kind of standing at the fork in the road and it's this career or that career, it's this decision or that decision, even when we have no idea, even if we find ourselves looking back and wondering if I should have chosen to do something different, the fact is that the Christian knows better than anyone else in the whole world where they're headed. No one knows where they're going better than we do. We are going to be with our God forever because in Christ our sins have been forgiven and the promise is that we have eternal life with our God forever. That our relationship with him has been restored, not just now, not just till we die, but for eternity. We know where we're going. That is purpose. It transforms the way we live, even if we don't know how to make sense of all the other stuff that goes on around us. Secondly, we can say, I feel so alive, because we are. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. You are alive. You might have a mundane career, a very average existence all around. You might find a job that pays the bills, but really doesn't leave you feeling fulfilled. It sucks the life out of you in some respects. And there's nothing wrong with trying to find a better job. But even if that is your circumstances not making you feel alive at all, that doesn't matter to the Christian. For the Christian is more alive than anyone else in the world, now and forever. The Christian is more alive now and will be more alive forever than anyone else in the world, because Jesus has made us alive by coming and dying for us. When we trust in him, we become alive and we will live forever with our God. We are alive. And then lastly, we can say, I'm making a real difference, because you are. Both the believer and the unbeliever can make a difference in this world. That's true. We have the opportunity to make a difference and change people's lives and care for other people and really do some good things in this world. But only a Christian has the opportunity to make a difference forever. A lot of the things that we do in this life, they're like those footprints on the beach, aren't they? You know, they're there as we walk, and then when we come back along the beach, they're gone already. But there are some things that we do which will endure forever. When we share the gospel with someone and that person is saved, that makes a difference forever. Forever. When we pray for a friend who is walking away from the Lord and they come back to Him because our prayers are powerful and effective, when we pray for that friend, we're making a difference forever. When we model Christ's love by caring for the poor and the suffering, when we disciple kids in youth ministries, kids ministries, our own children, when we encourage our friends in their walk with Jesus, they're just having a hard time at the moment, when we encourage them, these are things of eternal value. You're making a real difference. You can say that with your hand on your heart. I am making a difference for eternity. More than anyone else, the Christian has the opportunity to make a difference, an eternal difference with their life. In fact, when the whole of our life, including the spectacular and the mundane, when our work and rest and play, when all of it's lived in the service of God, then all of it has eternal significance because all of it is lived to the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, Paul urges the church there, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You can live your whole life with eternal significance. Everything you do can be for Jesus, to the glory of God. All of life can be for Him. We can say, I'm making a real difference. And so every human being wants to know the answer to this question. Why was I born? Why am I here? Why was I born? But I want to suggest to you tonight, friends, that the Christian will ask a different question, just a slightly different question. They will not ask, why was I born? That's an old question now. The new question is, why was I born again? Why did God reach down into this world and rescue me from my sin? Why did He give me, dead in my sins, new life? Undeserved eternal life. And the answer is this: you have been born again. You've been given new life to serve God by doing good in this world, to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. To do good as those who have the Holy Spirit, who are not just God's representatives, but actually have God in us in this world. And to do good so that He gets the glory. That's our purpose, friends. Let's live out our true purpose in this world. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You call us to our true purpose in Jesus. We confess that You created us for a purpose, but that we have sinned and that we have lost that purpose. We confess that we are apart from You and that apart from You there is no true purpose, and we pray that You would help us to see that in Christ and only in Christ can we find our true purpose. We thank You for what You have done for us in Him. We thank You that though we were dead in our sins, You have made us alive in Christ. That this is a gift that You have given to us. That this salvation that we do not deserve is a gift, and we joyfully and with great thanks receive it. And we know that You have created us afresh to do good works, to live a life of purpose for Your glory in this world. And we pray that You would help us to do that. Help us to do all that we do for Your glory. Help us to understand that we can live a life of eternal significance, that we can make a real difference. Help us to know that our destination is secure. Help us to know that we are more alive, even perhaps than we feel sometimes. Help us to remember how alive we are in Christ. We thank You for what You have done for us in Him. We thank You for the purpose that we have now. Help us to live out our purpose for Your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.